You're listening to a podcast from Streams Church in the West Valley of Phoenix, Arizona. For more audio and visual content, visit streamschurch.org.
So, some of you know that I went to Bible college in New Zealand. I also went to Bethel, but before that, when I was 18, I flew across the world, and I went to a very tiny Bible college in New Zealand. And the first day of college, there was a lot about the college I didn't know. It was like in 2003, and New Zealand didn't have the best websites at the time, and so I could only get a certain amount of information. I just knew that the Lord called me to it, and so when I went there, it was very small, and I didn't realize that the college was basically on a farm. So I'm a city girl, so there was a lot I did not expect, and there were a lot of terms that I didn't know. And so the first day, there was only like 50 people at this whole college. So it was very small, and a lot of international students. I was the only American, but we had students from Korea and England, Australia. It was just, it was really cool. And so they have this tradition on the first day of orientation. You introduce yourself, you say where you're from, and then all the students go to these things called the hot pools, which is like hot springs. If you've been to Colorado, and they've got those large swimming pools, but it's basically like a giant hot tub without like all the bubbles. It sounds really weird and awkward. But believe me, I made it more awkward. So the first day, we're all getting in, and I'm pretty outgoing, and everybody had already gotten in, but I'm still nervous. I'm only 18. I don't know anybody at all, and so everybody's in the pool, and I walk up to the steps, and I'm just going to, like, you know, I'm thinking in my head, okay, just walk up to the steps, say, hey, guys, how's it going? So I get to the edge, but I don't realize that there are no steps there. So I basically, like, half jackknifed, half penciled it, and just hi, and just completely splashed, made quite a splash, and it was really awkward. And you know, a lot of people don't like to be splashed in the face. That's not a pleasant experience. So it was really irritating. But I made him come around, and so I tell you that story because I want you to just remember that story. I'm going to come back to it at the end. I'm so glad Gina's sitting in the front row. She can laugh at my stories. But I was listening in my car the other day, and this worship song came on, and it's one of my favorite worship songs, and it really caught me, part of the words. And so there was a thought that I heard that I just kind of wanted to go after this morning. Not going to really talk too much. Just wanted to kind of share something on my heart. I'm sure a lot of you are familiar with this song, and some of the words are, when you walk into the room, everything changes. Darkness starts to tremble at the light that you bring. When you walk into the room, every heart starts burning. Nothing matters more than just to sit here at your feet and worship you. In Matthew 6, Matthew 6:10, it says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth just as it is in heaven. That comes from the Lord's Prayer in the beginning of Matthew 6, where Jesus is telling his disciples, when you pray, this is how you pray. Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. That whole piece of scripture right there is not a canned prayer. It's not saying, okay, this is how you pray. These are the words that you use. And it's not just reciting words. Each part of that prayer, and I'm just going to sit here for a bit, is a call to action, saying, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth just as it is in heaven. That's present. So that means just as it is right now. As believers, this is the foundation for what we are called to do. God has called you to bring heaven to earth. That sounds really big. And it sounds really scary. But he wants his kingdom come, his will be done here, right now, just like heaven. What Jesus is saying here, and this is where I want you to catch, he's saying, partner with me. Partner with me to change the earth so that it looks like heaven. It's kind of like, you know, when we talk about the end times, it's the now and the not yet. So while we're here, God gave us the earth. The very first commandment in Genesis, when he talks to Adam and Eve, he says, take dominion, multiply the earth. Take dominion means this earth is for you. Now change it for my glory. And we messed it up along the way, and we keep kind of messing it up, but how redemptive is God? When he walks into the room, everything changes. So what he created this whole thing for, all of earth, was for us to partner with him, for us to bring him glory, because he loves to partner. with us. And I don't know why. He's just so good. Like, he loves us so much. He could do it all by himself. He could do it all alone. But he gets so much pleasure out of doing this with us. And so one of the ways that we do that, one of the ways that we partner with God, is that when we walk into the room, everything changes. When we bring Jesus into the room. And I call that being an atmosphere changer. It's something I'm really passionate about. Aside from leading worship is probably the second thing that I is just really passionate on my heart, is that where God has placed you in your life, in the relationships that you have, in your workplace and your staff, you set the tone. You change the atmosphere. You bring God's presence in. And this is going to look different to each of us. It's going to look different where God has placed us. And there are different purposes for being an atmosphere changer. And I'm going to go just through a couple of purposes of what that means and why we do that. And the one purpose in being an atmosphere changer is for yourself, for your own breakthrough. We're going to go and bring up the scripture in Mark 5. It says, a large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately, her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my clothes? You see the people crowding around you, his disciple answered, and you still ask, who touched me? But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came, fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. So this woman, a lot of us have heard this story over and over, but it's still powerful each time. Can you imagine? She's been bleeding and in agony and pain for 12 years. I stubbed my toe and I'm in pain for like a week, you know. We know how colds go and a sickness or cancer, but can you imagine feeling that same pain for 12 years? When you don't feel good, you get weary. You're exhausted. If you have emotional pain that you carry around, or just a burden on yourself, and you have a lot that's happening in life, and it's all you can do to keep all the plates spinning and keep them going, you get weary and you get tired. And then when the exhaustion keeps going and the pain keeps going, you get desperate. So in this moment, this woman is desperate. She will do anything at this point. And she's thought, if I could just get close to Jesus, I know that there's a chance. So I just can imagine, she's just like blowing past people. At this point, she don't care. You know, at this point, when you are so desperate, you really don't care. So she just bowls through. She holds nothing back. She literally puts herself out there. I mean, completely vulnerable. Fully knowing that it may not happen. But at this point, she's willing to do anything. She puts herself out there before Jesus. And things shifted. Heaven came to earth because she got the attention of Jesus. And he turns towards her. It's not like somebody else that had been touching him. He turns towards her. He heals her. He moves her because she moved him. I just want you to think about that moment that she moved the heart of God. And she moved mountains. She changed the atmosphere around for herself. In 2013, my family, we lost my three-year-old nephew, Chase. He died suddenly and tragically. And as you can imagine, it left my family shattered. It happened about 9 years after my brother had died suddenly in a car accident. So you can imagine, it's unspeakable, the emotions and the turmoil my family was in. And watching like my sister hold a three-year-old having to turn off machines. Just after we had to say goodbye to my brother, everything comes back. And those of you who have lost somebody, you know. And those of you who haven't, I know can empathize with just that. And I'm used to holding my family together. I'm used to kind of being the strong one. And I couldn't make sense of this. I just had to watch as my family was broken. I had to watch my dad, the papa, lose his best friend. I had to watch grandma grieve. I had to watch my sister grieve over losing her son, her only son. My faith has always been pretty strong, and when my brother died, I worked through that, and was not really challenged in that moment. But when this happened, it really shook me, and I was angry. I was very angry, and I wanted answers. You know, I was just trying to make sense out of something so senseless. And a couple months after, I picked up my guitar to play some worship, not because I wanted to. This was not I didn't know what else to do, frankly. I didn't know what else to do, but I knew if there was an answer, it was going to be with Jesus, but that's all I knew, and that's just because that's what I knew. I really didn't know what else to do, and so I'm sitting there playing guitar, and I started singing that song, Came to My Rescue, and the chorus of that is, I called, you answered, and you came to my rescue. And I couldn't even, like, sing past the first two lines. I just said, I called, and you answered. And I couldn't sing it because I felt like it wasn't true. I felt like I was calling. There was no answer. And so I just kept singing it, I just started weeping. I sang, I called, and I just started weeping. And in that moment, my desperation shifted my heart. All of a sudden, my desperation shifted my heart towards Jesus, because I knew I just needed to get closer to Jesus. And in that moment, just needing to be near him, everything changed around me, in me. Everything changed. And I heard truth in those words. I called, and he answered. He said, I'm here. I'm the answer. I've always been here. It was a really, really pivotal moment for me. Is that an answer isn't always a solution. Sorry. I just feel really Holy Spirit right now, so I'm just going to. The answer is not always a solution, but the answer is just his presence. And it's not trying harder. The answer is never trying harder. The answer is always coming closer. Always. And we can either, this is free, this isn't in my notes, but you can either strive, you can either strive for something or you can surrender to something. But our faith only grows through one of those things. And it's not striving. Our faith can only grow through surrender. Jesus is here, y'all. I can feel his presence. Cool. So one of those purposes for changing the atmosphere is for your own personal breakthrough. The second purpose in being an atmosphere changer is for others. It's for their breakthrough, their miracle. In Mark chapter 2, we see a story a few days later when Jesus again entered Capernaum. The people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Pam, can you go back a couple slides to where it says the first purpose? So I just kind of feel Holy Spirit kind of stopping me here. I just kind of feel like we need to go back to that. I just would like everybody to close your eyes. And if there's someone here that's needing that personal breakthrough for yourself, will you just raise your hand? I just want to pray over you right now. If you feel like you are stuck and you need your atmosphere shifted. Okay, I see those hands. Thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, right now, God, I just pray right now that you shift our hearts. God, in these areas of personal breakthrough, God, I just pray that you are the answer. As we call, I call, you answered, and you came to my rescue, and I wanna be where you are. Holy Spirit, invade their hearts right now in this moment. You know what needs to shift. God, where there is anxiety, shift to peace. Where there is disorder, shift to order. God, where there is disease and sickness and weariness, shift to healing and your life. May the blood of Jesus be our very life source, flowing through our veins, God. Right now, we just ask for a miracle. You shift the atmosphere and you shift our spirits inside of us right now to you, the answer. God, right now we choose to lay down the solution. We don't need to have it right now. We just choose to draw into you right now. We thank you, God, for the faith that is stirring up in this room, and we choose to step into that. We pick that faith up for ourselves and in those situations. Amen. Okay, so going back to that second purpose and that story in Mark chapter 2. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by the four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it, and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." So these men knew that their friend needed a breakthrough. And the man couldn't get there himself, so his friends came alongside him, and they carried him to his breakthrough. When you see others around you that need a breakthrough, we can shift the atmosphere by getting them the resources they need, by making a way. They literally shifted the atmosphere. They literally shook the foundation. So these men are here and they know if they can just get their friend to Jesus, Jesus can do anything. And so there's this crowd. They can't get in. What are they going to do? Well, let's just go through the roof. I think if it were women, we would just bowl our way in, right? But the men, they want to make it a thing. They want to make it an adventure. So they go on the roof and they dig through. You know, anything for a construction project, right? They never said how long it took to put the roof back on. So a friend of mine, her name is Shauna, and she's kind of a high-profile photographer. And so she gets to go to all these different places and do photography. And through that, she gets to just meet a lot of influential people. And so for any of you that play golf or know about the famous tournaments, there's a tournament at Pebble Beach. It's the Pro-Am Pebble Beach tournament. It's pretty big. A lot of celebrities are there. Bill Murray's always there. Mark Wahlberg is there. Larry Fitzgerald was there, I think, last year. And so this was a couple years ago, and at this one, Justin Timberlake was there. Can I get an amen? No, just kidding. Listen, Justin Timberlake, he was so in sync with his golf swing, it was tearing up my heart. You can't tell, I'm a 90s baby. Anyway, so my friend Sean is at this tournament, and of course, people are like trying to, going through the crowds, not following Jesus, they're following Justin Timberlake. And so my friend Shauna meets a couple of women from the military, and they're in their full uniform. There are three of them, and they're really shy, but they just like were kind of in the back, and she's striking up conversation with them, and they're like, "Oh, we would just love to meet Justin Timberlake." And so he was kind of walking away from them, and Shauna pushes through the crowd and yells out, "Justin, will you come get some pictures with the military?" He stopped in his tracks when he heard military. He turns around and he walks back towards them. If you want to pull up that picture, Pam. And he stopped and took pictures with them. because she shifted the atmosphere for others. I know it's a really silly example, but she made a way for others' breakthrough. They were pretty shy, and I'm sure that they have kept that picture, like, forever. Thanks, Pam. But when the people around you are anxious, and they're acting out of fear, and they're acting in control, you have the opportunity to shift the atmosphere by being a place of safety, by being a place of truth, by being a place of peace. You have an opportunity to bring someone into your circle. And there's a difference between just doing something and being nice to someone and showing someone the love of God. And we're really good at being nice to people and being considerate and asking people how they're doing without really caring about how they're doing. We're really good at that. But it takes an extra step to actually show someone the love of God. There's an opportunity to pray with someone, to lean in and ask God, are you telling me something about that person? That takes a little bit more effort. It takes a little bit more, because love takes sacrifice and it takes cost. It might cost you some pride. It might cost you to have to get over yourself to actually pray over someone. But if you do that, if you lean in to what God is saying, it's in that authenticity, it's in that authentic place of love and peace that you bring God in the room. That you bring heaven to earth, that you bring His will be done, His kingdom come. It's in those moments that you've shifted the atmosphere so that God can come and do what only He can do. Amen? The third purpose of being an atmosphere changer is for the kingdom of God. In John chapter 8, we see the woman in adultery. We don't have that slide, do we? It didn't transfer over, so I'll read it. Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. At dawn, he appeared again in the temple courts, where all the people gathered around him, and he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the very act of adultery." We all know what that means. "In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. What do you say?" They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let any of you who is without sin throw the first stone." And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to drop their stones and walk away, one at a time. Until only Jesus was left with this woman standing, he straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has nobody condemned you?" "No, sir," she said. "Then neither do I," Jesus declared. "Go now and leave your life of sin." So in this moment and in this situation, we see Jesus shifted the atmosphere. In this moment, in this 5 minutes, he brought in grace, he brought in truth, he brought in justice, he brought in mercy, and he brought in his power and his authority, all in this moment. He brought the authority of his father into the room. Because it says in one of the Gospels, it says that Jesus only did what he saw the Father doing. That's what he was doing. He was bringing the authority of what his Father wanted to happen. He just brought all those things in to that moment so that that woman, her atmosphere could be shifted, so that she would leave that life of sin no more, and so that she would encounter Jesus. Ultimately, being an atmosphere changer is not about my needs. And it's not about the needs of those closest to me. It's really not about our needs. It's really about the kingdom of God. It's about His glory. It's so that all of us, so that all that we know would come to know Jesus. It's that they would know this person that is grace, that is truth, that is mercy, that is love, that is peace. That is what all of this is for. It's bigger than something I can do. It's bigger than all of us. And it's a lofty thing to think about that we are literally to partner with God and we're to bring heaven to earth. It's very lofty, but that's why we partner with God. All of who he's created us to be with all of who God is. What being an atmosphere changer is not, remember that story I told you guys in the beginning, how I made the splash? What being an atmosphere changer is not is getting all eyes on you and basically doing a spiritual jackknife or a spiritual cannonball, right? It is not making sure that you are seen and heard, that your opinions or your ambitions are known to all those around you. It's not forcing someone to hear what they're not ready to hear. And it's not telling someone what you think they need to know. We're really good about that with the people we know the best is, well, they need to hear this. I really think that they need to know this. It is doing what you see the Father doing. And Jesus could do that because Jesus did that as a man. I want to be clear. He didn't do that because he was God. He did that as a man because he was so connected to the heart of the Father. That's how he could do that. I'm going to ask the worship team to go ahead and come on up. Being an atmosphere changer is simply bringing the presence of God in the room. And we occupy our space with whatever occupies us. If I am anxious, I'm going to bring that in the room. And if I'm angry and I'm frustrated, I'm going to bring that in the room. Moms, we know that for sure. Because we can see how it affects our families, our children, our husbands. But when I have the peace of God in my heart, I bring that in the room. And it's interesting because when you have that and you walk in a room where you can feel tension, you feel it. But then you feel it shift because we carry the authority of Jesus. If I'm tapping into Jesus' peace and his safety, then that's what I'm going to bring in the room. If I'm connected to the word, if I'm connected to worship, if I'm connected to my relationship with Jesus, when I'm connected to his heart, no matter what room I walk in, I will be equipped with knowing how to shift the atmosphere. So I'd like everybody to close your eyes. Imagine what your day would look like if you were connected to the heart of Jesus. Imagine if you heard him say, "You're going to change the room you're about to walk in." How would your posture change walking in that room? How would your heart be positioned? What words would you say? What tone would you use? What body language would you portray? God, help us to become atmosphere changers. God, help us to become aware of your presence inside of us. Help us to become aware of what you want to do in the rooms that we walk in. God, help us to be obedient and bold in shifting our hearts, making a way for others, and helping others to have an encounter with the personal Jesus that we know as the answer. God, we lean in closer to you, and we know you can do all things. God, we make a way so that you can do what only you can do. Can we all stand?
This has been a podcast from Streams Church in the West Valley of Phoenix, Arizona. For more information, visit streamschurch.org.